When Hong Kong was handed back over to China from its British colonial rulers in 1997, it was promised autonomy from mainland China. That's been maintained largely thanks to an independent judiciary and a free press. Now, anxious residents say those are slowly being weakened under increasing pressure from Hong Kong's government and the central government in Beijing. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports.
Press Freedom Under Siege is the title of this year's annual report by the Hong Kong Journalists Association. It details cases of violence against journalists, financial pressures, and government interference. Shirley Yam is vice chairman of the association and a columnist at the English-language South China Morning Post.
We call the press freedom in Hong Kong in the darkest moments ever since the handover in 1997. Because of the increasing tightening that we've seen, sometimes from authorities directly, and most of the time from within, in terms of self-censorship.
China and Britain agreed that for 50 years after the 1997 handover, Hong Kong would manage its own affairs, except for defense and diplomacy. But Yam points out that in April, more than a dozen Hong Kong media executives met with China's Vice President Li Yuanchao. Vice President Li reportedly told them to cover the news objectively and fairly. He added that a Hong Kong pro-democracy movement called Occupy Central is illegal. Yam said Li's message was crystal clear.
Imagine yourself as a journalist. Not many will be able to say no to one of the most senior officials in the country. Even if the editors can, how about your management? How about the one who signed your paycheck?
That's apparently just what happened on the evening of July 1st when management at the respected Ming Pao newspaper stopped the presses. They then swapped out a large headline about massive pro-democracy protests that day. It removed a reference to the protesters' main demand for direct elections. In February, thousands of journalists and citizens protested in the streets after unnamed assailants attacked former Ming Pao chief editor Kevin Lau with a meat cleaver. Protesters carried one sign which optimistically proclaimed, "They can't kill us all." Eric Jung was a law school classmate of Lau's. He's now a member of a civic group that's calling attention to the attack. Jung says he does not believe it was a random criminal act.
Knowing Kevin, we knew that this attack could not have been triggered by personal matters, financial matters, and other things not related to Kevin's work as a journalist.
Jung says that Lau's attackers severed nerves in his legs and were apparently aiming to cripple him, not kill him. Police have arrested several people in connection with the case, but it's not clear what their motives are. Veteran American journalist Francis Moriarty reported for Hong Kong's public broadcaster RTHK for nearly two decades until this June. He notes that several major Hong Kong media outlets that used to be seen as independent have recently been sold to local real estate tycoons.
The so-called tycoons, as people in Hong Kong refer to them, their financial interests are largely no longer in Hong Kong. Virtually all of them have major interests on the mainland Chinese side of the border.
And he says that means that they may be more susceptible to Chinese government pressure. Moriarty says that press freedoms are essential if Hong Kong is to continue to exist as a global center of finance and commerce.
I don't see how it can function in that role successfully if it's not also an international hub for the flow and the free flow of information and expression. So I think that the fight for press freedom and free speech in Hong Kong is not just a local fight or a local issue. I think it's really an international one.
Anthony Kuhn, NPR News.